Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, happy party Friday to everybody. A beautiful June day, summer day, even if it's not technically summer, sure feels like it. I'm Chuck Bonneville. This is Julie Hayden, and it's just the Truth Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan,
as well as our newest sponsor, Happy Trees.
Happy Trees, and we'll be talking about them on Monday. Hey, and in honor of inflation, we are now doing, Leo, when you hear this, party Friday with water. We're not that desperate yet.
You can pick up vodka, Russian vodka, pretty cheap.
Yeah. You can? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there we go. Today, lots to talk about. We're going to have at 3:30, Lori Sain, CD8 candidate, talk about the shenanigans that Chuck and his merry band of men and women spent all last year trying to warn establishment Rhino Republicans about. And they said, no, that's ridiculous, you conspiracy theorists. It's now come to full circle and it's happening, and even they're announcing it. Lori Sain is coming on to talk about some weird campaign flyers that are portraying Lori Sain, who got an A in the Liberty scorecard, as a liberal. So we'll be talking to her and figuring out where is the money coming from that's fueling debt. But first, we're happy to have with us again Colonel Sean Smith, a retired Air Force with the U.S. Election Integrity Project. A lot to talk about there. So Sean, first, thank you for your time once again, and happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. Thanks for having us on again.
So it's kind of, you know, I booked you because a while ago, because I wanted to talk about the government's cybersecurity and infrastructure report that they put out, but it, particularly in light of the January 6th, nutcase shows that they bombed, there was no bombshell, where they're spending all of our time trying to reassure us that there are no issues, that all of these election questions
all
have
perfect.
Been all debunked.
Ivanka Trump and Bill Barr said so. So I know it's true.
That's right. I mean, so first, I mean, we did not watch it. Well, you watched some.
I watched it.
I didn't, because I agree with Tucker Carlson.
She never wants to watch CNN or MSNBC. And I just go, you've got to listen to what the other side says.
I just read them on the internet. But did you watch any of it? Or if not your take on some of the work I use that term loosely, that they claim to have done?
I didn't watch any of it. I'm like, I think, you know, 99% of Americans, I'm concerned about things that are real and not that, you know, witch hunt. I mean, I understand what has fed into it, what they've asked for. I was actually half expecting to get subpoenaed by those, that clown show. You know, I was at the rally. In fact, I spent hours next to Ron Hanks, which is one of the reasons I know Ron Hanks was nowhere near any of the violence.
Right.
Because I know exactly where he was. So that's why, you know, like Kyle Clark and Nine News, their insinuation that somehow Ron Hanks was involved in violence on that day is, you know, it's
anything that
anything
that Kyle Clark says has about as much credibility as
that. Let's remember that their employee killed a pro-Trump supporter.
So got away with it.
Let's never forget that. So, and the city of Denver said that the security firm that hired him can continue working in Denver.
Sure, killing away.
But I wanted to talk because the mainstream media, and most of the media, you saw almost crickets, right? They've spent all of their time banning us, censoring us, lecturing us, shoving down our throats, baseless election deniers, blah, blah, blah. So the federal government, its own agency, this is a government agency, came out with a report that basically said, oh yeah, that whole Dominion voting machine thing, actually they are vulnerable to attack and hacking.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, CISA or CISA, depending on how you like to say it, it's one of those regional dialect things. But so they released this advisory, and that advisory is about the vulnerabilities discovered and reported to them by J. Alex Halderman, a professor of computer science, University of Michigan. He's, you know, by no means is he a conservative. You know, he's a college professor. He's well known for doing security investigations of voting systems. He's testified before Congress about their vulnerability. I mean, years ago, he did this. He and Professor Apple, you know, I think Andrew Apple did the same thing. So he was doing this report as a result of his examination of a Dominion ICX or ImageCast X machine, which is the touch screen, like adaptive technology voting system that's used in voting centers. He did it in the Curling case in Georgia, the U.S. District Court down there of Georgia in Atlanta. The Curling case was about, in 2020, they had used the ICX machines as part of the Dominion Democracy Suite in their primary elections, and there was a problem where they weren't properly displaying ballots. That problem should have been detected and caught in the testing that was required of that system by a voting system testing lab, you know, by the Election Assistance Commission as part of the certification testing. Okay. But it wasn't. So they found this error, and then Dominion came forward and said, well, we're going to fix that error with this software change. And they recommended, Dominion, the voting system vendor, recommended that change as a de minimis change. That's a category of change which asserts that there is no reason to do any testing, that the change is of such small nature that it wouldn't affect security posture or other functioning. That assertion, that's at the core of some of the cultural malaise here. That assertion in and of itself with a modern computer-based system like our computer-based voting systems is ridiculous. I mean, it's ludicrous. There's no such thing. If you tell me that they changed out the color on the outside of a computer case, I will tell you that's de minimis. But you change a single line of code, you had better look at it exhaustively, because it could change everything about the way that system behaves, about its security posture. So the Curling lawsuit is about that de minimis change and the sort of irregularity and inadequacy of the approach for certification and how that might have exposed elections in Georgia to all sorts of fraud and error. And so Halderman was brought in to examine that system. He's the first person to get a hold, an independent tester to get a hold of one of those ICX systems, right? Because in the Maricopa audit, Maricopa County never turned over the ICX hardware, never, to the auditors. They didn't get to examine it. So Cyper and Ben Cotton, working for Cyber Ninjas, and Doug Logan, they didn't get to look at it. Here in Colorado, in Mesa County, those forensic examiners never got to look at it. So the significance of the first independent investigator, and again, not a conservative, not a Trump fan, he looked at it and he said, there are serious vulnerabilities in this system. He submitted his report to the court there in, I want to say it was July of 2021, and Judge Totenberg sealed it.
Oh,
so
great.
That nobody, the public couldn't know about it. Halderman was so concerned, he submitted a declaration which excluded the details of the vulnerabilities, but noted these systems are vulnerable to hacking. You could change votes and you could change an election outcome with them because you could potentially change enough votes to have that effect. And he detailed these vulnerabilities. Now, remember, this is one researcher. This isn't even, and I'm not saying he's not competent, because I believe he is. But this isn't like turning, like in the Department of Defense, we would turn a system over to a red team.
Right, and they would look at it.
Yeah, they would go at a system in every way that's possible. They would just, you know, they'd obliterate the defenses. Well, and then you'd have an idea of just how bad your security was.
Well, now I'm going to submit, and now I'm going to be banned now, but I'm going to say this is probably not a shock to certain Democrat operatives. It's like they didn't need somebody to tell them this. And the reason they're sealing it and the reason they don't want to have, as you said, a red team go in and look at it is they don't want to fix it. I mean, look at all of the times we were banned, we were censored from YouTube, places, you guys, the Gateway Pundit, for even suggesting that, you know, Sidney Powell, all of these people, you know, Mike Lindell, for even suggesting there might be problems. You know, you got Joe Altman, the list goes on and on, that there might be problems with it. It was like, absolutely not impossible. I mean, it's kind of like when CrowdStrike, which works for the DNC, reviewed the DNC so-called computer hack and said, oh, it was Russians, but they wouldn't show the work to anybody. And the FBI said, okay, those wacky Russians. I mean, that's what I think, that they
don't forget that. Well. Don't forget that that exec from CrowdStrike, when he was under oath, said, no, we don't have any evidence of it.
Right.
So he had to contradict himself. And that's the difference, is you get people under oath and all of a sudden the story changes. This is why DA Rubenstein and his investigator out in Mesa in that clown show they did in the commissioner's meeting, where they talked about, you know, he's trying to rebut a technical forensic report from a cyber expert and another cyber expert with a combined 80 years of experience in the field. He's trying to rebut it because he had his investigator, who is not in any way a cyber expert, literally look at some grainy video. That was the basis of his rebut. Oh, and he talked to Dominion, which, by the way, bringing us back to the CISA advisory. So when you look at this advisory, if you try to go follow it, the links to the particular common vulnerability and exploits that they identified, nine of them, of these CVEs. So this is a, I don't know, maybe about 15 years ago, MITRE Corporation, a federally funded research and development corporation, established this database of common vulnerabilities as part of their work supporting cyber assessment and recommendations to the federal government. And this CVE details is somebody else who publishes that. Then there's this National Vulnerability Database under National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST. And that's what CISA was referring to that NVD database. Nobody uses that database. Nobody. Okay. I didn't even know that database existed. That is not a database in common use in the field. Everybody uses MITRE's or this third-party CVE details. But you follow the CISA advisory, and they link to CVEs that are not present. So in other words, it's like if you buy something on eBay and they say they shipped it to you, but all they really did was notify, you know, the postal service or UPS. So there's this pre-notification, but nothing's been shipped.
Right.
That's what you have there. And then the CISA advisory that talks about these vulnerabilities identified by Haldeman, it tells public officials literally, if you have questions, to talk to Dominion voting systems about
it. There we go.
Yeah, that'll fix it.
That'll fix it.
If you can't trust them now, after they lied about the status of their system,
right,
and then refused to accept, they refused. Dominion refused to receive Haldeman's report because of their contractual obligations. The moment they're notified that there are these
vulnerabilities, they got to fix it. Yeah.
Every single contract they have.
How do you get to step two? Step one is that the machines have vulnerabilities. Step two is those vulnerabilities were exploited. How do you get to step two?
Well, so I'm glad you asked, because CISA's advisory says we have no evidence.
Yeah.
That they've been, you know, it's like, I have no evidence of who shot anybody in Chicago in the last week, because I haven't looked into any of it.
Right.
And that is the state of CISA. So not only do we know for a fact that the election records, the log files that they would need to look at this, nobody has those, because most of them in Colorado have been destroyed by the Secretary of State, right?
Right.
And this is, Colorado is one of 15 states other than Georgia that are potentially affected by this. And they had in Mesa County, their acting elections director, Ms. Bantz, there gave an interview with Grand Junction Sentinel where she said, this doesn't affect us. This isn't our version. Well, if you read the CISA advisory, it says other versions were not tested.
Right. Well, and here's the thing I would say, I mean, I'm no cybersecurity expert by any means, but, you know, I mean, this morning, for instance, I was, we have an 11-year-old, right? And he was recording a video game and he was being really quiet. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he was on his phone and he was editing it, right? I mean, a process for me and TV that would have taken a team, an edit bay, an edit suite. He was on his 11-year-old phone. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to realize. And I think that's what this report said too, right? That there really isn't any system you can guarantee, except they, and he said, that's why the paper ballot is so important, because you have a paper trail there of what actually happened. I mean, right. There is no really way you can, everyone know that, everybody who has.
Well, you don't get to step. Step two is critical, at least for the 2020 election.
Yeah, you've got to
establish step two in Colorado and other places. Maybe they're doing everything they can to prevent you from doing step two.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. The assertion that the systems are secure, and the assertion that the systems' vulnerabilities. So before we heard, these systems aren't even capable of connecting to the internet or an outside network. Now we are told, well, okay, yeah, they have the wireless networking devices, but they're off. Nobody uses them. And you can't inspect them to verify that. And we've destroyed the log files that would have told you if that happened. The log files are absolutely critical. The destruction of the log files is prima facie evidence of wrongdoing.
Right. Okay? Well, that's why they're hollering at Tina Peters. They're hollering at clerks in El Paso County. They're hollering at any clerk that went in and tried to, which seems, why on earth would you care, right? You're the county clerk. You're in charge of the elections. Why not have a copy of the log files or whatever it is that you need to verify? And the very fact that they're criminally charging her, and Jenna Griswold has had the law changed to make it a crime, that, I mean, you're absolutely right. That tells you something. Why do, as a reporter, I can tell you, as soon as they tell you, no, you can't look there. And if you look there, by the way, we're going to arrest you. Well, that made me want to look there even more.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, the election is 5 months away, and that's a law, that's a forever in politics. But if it keeps up as it is, with inflation and everything else, you're going to have a massive turnover in Congress. Would a committee, assuming you appointed one in Congress, be able to ferret some of this out? Or is it really just too little, too late? They've hit all the evidence and the courts or somebody else will block them.
Well, obviously, so there's a massive establishment, and not just leftists, but establishment lawfare. Right. Organization, right? Sure. There's a network, and they will fight every effort to reduce our use of these extraordinarily vulnerable, unverifiable computer-based voting systems. This is, I mean, if you want to know what's true about cyber, so CISA, you know, was compromised, and we talk about this in the declaration. CISA was compromised by the SolarWinds Sunburst supply chain attack in 2020. So the same people telling us that our voting systems are secure and that they have no evidence of compromise of these vulnerabilities, their own networks were compromised for 10 months and they had no idea.
No idea. Yeah.
They never found it themselves. They had to be told by an external third party, by Mandiant's FireEye team, who only found it because they found it in their own networks because their monitoring was better than the government's. So those are the people securing our systems. Now, if you look at the advisory that CISA sent out to government agencies as a result of that compromise, the first things they told them to do were take an image of the hard drives of your affected systems. This is exactly what Clerk Peters did.
Right.
Right. That Secretary of State Griswold and the General Assembly want to prohibit by law our election officials from doing. And they told them to get all your log files from the operating system and from your communications devices so that you can look through them for indicators of compromise. So unless CISA and the election officials responsible for our voting systems have taken those images, have gotten the log files and the communications files and all those artifacts and turned them over to competent cybersecurity examiners, independent examiners, they have no idea what's true. And they never will. And they never will.
When you and they did that on purpose, right? That's exactly why they all went in and they wiped the files. That's exactly why they're filing criminal charges against people like Tina Peters for trying to, I mean, you know, you look at it and they call her an election denier and they make up all this stuff about her. All she did was try to make copies basically and want to say, hey, look, I want to have somebody there watching and I want to have my own copies, which is a perfectly reasonable request, right? The IRS doesn't just take our word for it, right, on things. They want to see
the question of just endlessly railing is almost tiresome.
Chuck's in a negative mood today.
Well, I want some at least hope, some possible solution to things other than that. In Colorado, I think there's no chance. I mean, like Tina Peters has got a good chance that indictment is a joke, and she's got, thanks to Mike Lindell, some very good attorneys. But nothing's going to change in Colorado, ever. Nationally, I don't know. Maybe there's some chance that enough Trumpian candidates get elected in Congress that they could actually have a committee with experts and everything else that can do something. I don't see Republicans talking about it. I don't see them,
anymore. Well, because they hired Dominion, right? Wayne Williams.
That's Colorado. Leave Colorado alone. It's hopeless. It's worthless. No. They're all corrupt.
I got it.
No, you better give up on Colorado.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But is there a chance that you could get a national one that could help determine whether, in fact, there were compromises And if not, you know, I guess the answer is how do Republicans start rigging Dominion machines? Because that's your alternative.
Good point. Yeah, I understand the sort of pessimism, but I don't ever share any pessimism. You know, I always like our chances. You have no idea how small a chance I need to be optimistic. Even no chance, right?
If he's ever me, I'm like before, that too. Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm your basic, there's a pony in here somewhere person. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more than that. It's that I realize that, you know, and I've said this to other people before, you know how primitive man hunted, right? Well, before we had tools, before, you know, we had any technology, you know, this is part of our physiological advantage. We don't have the sharpest teeth. We don't have the longest claws. We're not anywhere near the strongest. We would just run prey to death. We would just run them until they were exhausted and collapsed. And then we ate them. And that's what's going to happen. Right? They think that we're going to get tired and we're never going to stop. We're going to be pursuing this and we're going to find a judge who'll hear a case. You know, county commissioners in one of these counties are going to listen to citizens. Right. And they're going to object and they're going to try to oppose the Secretary of State's imposition of this illegal order and the fact that they're being told they must use voting systems that are not secure. And we've got mounting evidence now that they're not secure.
Right.
So when you're compelled by law to use a system that's not secure, you must seek a remedy. Right.
But and it's good, like I said, and this goes back. It's the government's own report. Right. It's not this isn't Mike Lindell. This isn't Rudy Giuliani. This is a government's own report.
Do you think they care?
Except we're going to be optimistic here for a second.
It's their own report. We're still ignoring. Secretary of State, and she's utterly corrupt.
It's worse than that. I don't know if you all have heard about the Election Assistance Commission's report that they did. It's like a 5-page. This is like an elementary school book report. But they had a problem in Williamson County, Tennessee, in October of 2021. Where their Dominion image cast precinct systems were just not counting ballots. And the election officials there caught it. It took 5 months for EAC to do an investigation. They had no independent investigator, but they admitted at least in the report that every single step that we're being told safeguards our elections and our votes in Colorado. So the logic and accuracy test, the acceptance testing, the voting system testing lab certification testing, all of it failed. They had the wrong configuration files, according to them, loaded. And they still haven't nailed down exactly the root cause, but they think they fixed it. And that's kind of the nature of the report, right? So this is the Election Assistance Commission admitting that every prescribed safeguard that they recommend across the country failed.
Well, and again, I go back to common sense. People get that paper ballots are secure. It's, you know, and they can see you. You can't go in 80 times or that kind of thing. And I think one of the reasons I'm hopeful more than Chuck is just how screwed up the Democrats have made this country. I mean, you look at the inflation highest in, 40 some years, and that's just over last year. That's not counting all of the compounding, and it's only going to get worse. I think people are starting to look around and are realizing more maybe than they did in 2020 that election.
I think they looked around at North Korea and said, is this working out well? Is this really doing what we need to do for North Korea?
But I mean, elections have consequences, and I'm hopeful that as Chuck said, either Republicans learn to start rigging the machines, mm-hmm. and then the Democrats decide they want to fix them, or enough people get mad and say, "Wait, this isn't working," because I think it is so important. Because if you can't trust the elections, I know
you
this
can't
is
trust shame, them.
But I mean, then you can't trust anything, right?
Then it's how you could bingo, bingo, finally got it. Finally got it.
Motivation. I mean, so the results of lack of accountability. So the whole purpose of elections is accountability to the people, right?
Right.
If you're not accountable to the people, you just do whatever you want, right? Disney did a documentary about this. It was called The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Where somebody completely incompetent, wielding power that they had no business having, wreaked destruction. So we're hoping to find out what happens when, rightful power is restored to someone who actually is accountable to the people.
I'd never thought of Joe Biden as a sorcerer's apprentice, but it actually fits. It fits perfectly.
Well, let me, before we let you go, just a final question, because I know you guys are working tirelessly.
Yeah, doing a great job.
And doing a great job. So two questions. One, where can people go to keep up with you? And second, I mean, anything new in the works or any developments that you can tell us about?
Yes. Yeah, so you can find information on U.S. Election Integrity Plan at uscip.org. So that's, and then also we are Cause of America. So we're doing, this is like the nationwide to help other states. So USEIP works in Colorado and also helps other states. Cause of America is just helping states. So we don't have a particular state that we're doing that in. And what's on the horizon is we're providing this package to counties and to grassroots, the Built for Integrity, which is the explanation of the approach for return to hand counted paper ballots.
Okay.
You know, why you would do it, how you would do it. So we've got draft procedures we've been refining. We're going to do training videos, and we're just going to hand all that over to grassroots and counties so that when they realize what we've known for a while now, that you can't trust the machines at all, they don't have, you know, they're not caught flat footed in trying to answer the question, well, what should we do?
What do we do now? That's great.
What we should do is basically what we did in this country for, you know, over 150 years. We're going to hand count paper ballots, except now we're going to do it under video so that there's perfect transparency. And everybody can see not just how their own ballot was counted, but how every ballot was counted in their precinct. And we're going to get rid of centralized election counting and computerized counting and vendors. We don't need them. We don't need the industry. We don't need the nonprofits that have been pushing them.
Right.
We need transparency, integrity, and we can have it, but we have to take it back ourselves.
All right, Sean. Right. So that gives us hope. So thank you for
Sean.
Thank you for that explanation. Thank you for keeping an eye on all of this.
You bet. Take good care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Sean, Colonel Sean Smith there with the U.S. Election Integrity Plan. You know, and there's so many great comments here.
Well, great comment was, you know, it's back there. But Stephen asked, did anybody listen to Matt Crane on George Brockler's show today? And I'll have to say, I turned on the radio, I was heading down downtown Denver, or Denver anyway, turned it on, heard George, and we've got Matt Crane with it, and I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take it.
I mean, so folks,
I couldn't take it. I just turned it off.
Matt Crane is the former election clerk for a county, for Arapahoe County. His wife works for Dominion.
He's a big time Republican.
Rhino Republican. I mean, so here's the thing. You know that you're close when you've got all these people circling the wagons and trying to once again saying election deniers, election deniers. And I'm just going to say, this was the Biden administration.
Nobody cares.
Let me just finish. Own people who said, yeah, it can be hacked. And I think you're right. The key is, can we prove it? And it sounds like from what Sean said, no, we cannot. Anyway, I mean, they've destroyed all the records, which should make us suspicious. But I think, you know, you don't need to. This is the kind of thing, and one of the reasons I like to do this on the show is so people can, you know, and you have people say, like Peter, right? Election denier. You can say, well, what about this SZA report, right?
You ask him, did you see 2,000 mules? And he goes, oh, it's been totally debunked like everything else. If it was true, then they'd bring the Dominion lawsuits. They'd bring it in lawsuits. And you kind of go, but Peter, the ballot harvesting has nothing to do with the Dominion machines.
Right, they're two.
So why
machines.
Would you bring to get rid of a Dominion lawsuit, which you can't by betting 2,000 mules? But as long as you can say it, you're happy. It's proven. 40 courts, 85 courts have looked at it, and it's nothing. I heard it last night.
You gotta wonder what impact this might have on some of the Dominion lawsuits. But I go back to Dominion, I agree with you. They don't really care about winning the lawsuits. They just care about shutting people up.
Well,
right? They have money, and they can sit there and, you know, they have lawyers who can file motions and this and that. And if you're the person like a Joe Altman that they're trying to sue, or they're suing and Randy Corbin and all those people, it's like, you know, you don't have this. I mean, that's what I think. Dominion just wants, and it worked, right?
But
you got George Brockler having Matt Crane on his show.
Well, Stephen, what was Matt Crane saying on George's show?
Stephen, you want to weigh in? You want to type in the comment? Oh, he texted a message to the studio that Brock will read about the machines made in China and software developed in Bosnia and Canada, which Crane completely ignored. Yeah, so, absolutely. Well, of course, right? We're going to get, and I don't know, we got a ton of people on Zoom. And so Lori Sain is going to be joining us on Zoom. Lori, if you're there, go ahead and unmute yourself and bring your camera up, because this is election shenanigans of a whole other sort. I find it kind of interesting. There was a survey, another survey where an increasing number of people, and I don't even think they, you know, they aren't going to say, well, I saw this is a report that said the Dominion machines were vulnerable, or, you know, I saw 2,000 mules, but there seemed to be an increasing number of people, and more than not, right, anymore, say, yeah, our election systems are screwed up, right? No, I don't trust it totally. And I think that goes along with just an increasing distrust of government in general.
Well, good. You should distrust the government.
Well, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. And I think all of this is good. And I think that that'll end up helping. That's what we got. Stephen said, he said, turn off the wireless and internet. He said they turn off the wireless and internet connection. And he focused on the trusted build securing the system. Good. I could not take it anymore and quit listening so I could walk my dog. You're just like Chuck. You couldn't take anywhere. Yeah. Well, and again, as Sean just explained, the report debunked that, right? The report said, no, that they say that and they use this what secure build, which isn't secure, right? And again, anybody.
But you're talking about Republicans.
Right.
I mean, Brockler is a Republican. So is Matt Crane. And they just buy it hook, line, sinker.
No, they don't buy it. I'm going to switch it a little bit here. They're paid.
No,
they're paid.
No, George Brockler is not.
Well,
paid.
No, George is not. Well, but
he believes all. Peter believes all kinds of things. They don't have to be paid to believe foolish things.
I would have to be.
Well, you used to be a Democrat.
Yeah, exactly. I never got paid. So, you know, hey, TJ, I see you have people entering the waiting room. We're waiting for Lori Sain. So if you could see if she's there and go ahead and let the people come into the waiting room. That's great. We have a bunch of people there. In the meantime, hey, let's see, 888-627-6008 is one of the lines. If you want to call in on this while we're waiting for Lori, 888-627-6008. Oh, we got Jacob raising his hand. Hey, Jacob, go ahead. And then, oh, then I see Lori. We'll go to Lori right after Jacob. Hey, Jacob. Jacob, you want to unmute yourself?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Do you, Chuck, do you remember what happened in November 1982?
November 1982. That would have been Reagan's first midterm. And he, the
Republican. And who was running? And who was running for Colorado governor?
Who was running for Colorado governor? Well, probably Lamb was still around.
Correct. And how did we vote?
How did we vote? We reelected Lamb.
No, paper ballots, you mean? Or
that was the first time they used paper ballots. You go back to the articles in the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News, how many boxes they found 2 days later, because it was a snow day.
Oh.
2 days later, they found boxes all over the city that were never counted.
Huh.
Well, the all of England, all of Britain, all of France votes right. By paper ballot. All of Germany votes by paper ballot. Most of Europe votes by, and they have the results. Yeah, you can screw up. You can screw up paper ballots. But you can't.
No, I'm not arguing with him about that.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm saying is, there was a guy at the Denver Election Commission. His name was Rocky Rushing, and he was the data processor for the City and County of Denver Elections Division. He kept an ebook from the 1982 election all the way to the 2008 election. I think he died right afterwards. He knows who really won.
Oh.
He knows somebody's got that ebook. I think Matt Crane might even know who he is. But somebody's got that ebook. And if they ever found it, believe me, it would be crazy. People would go crazy. So somebody's gotta come up with that ebook. But
look into that.
All right,
Jacob. Okay.
Thanks, Jacob. We're going to go to Lori
Sain. So we're happy to have with us now CD8 candidate, GOP candidate for the primary. And everybody, your ballots are out, so be sure to vote. Lori Sain. Hey, Lori.
And vote for Lori.
And vote for Lori if you're in CD8. Thank you for joining us. How are you on this Friday?
Well, good. And if you want a real conservative serving you and House of Representatives, then vote Lori.
All right. Well, Lori, now I can't believe you say that. I got this mailer today that says you're a liberal. And it says you led the Never Trump movement. You're soft on crime, blah, blah, blah. Now, if I'm not mistaken, did you not get an A rating from the Liberty Scorecard people?
I did. That's correct.
All right. Now, they don't give A ratings to liberals, do they?
No, they don't.
Do they give F ratings to liberals?
They do give Fs to folks like Barbara Kirchmeier, though.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Well, so I wanted to talk about this because what's happening is the shenanigans. I mean, talk about election integrity, but the shenanigans, what Chuck and his people went around the state last year talking about, the shenanigans that Democrats and that rhinos were going to pull and why we needed a closed primary, right? It's all coming true and by, you know, exponentially mm-hmm. to what you guys predicted. So from what I understand, these mailers are coming from, and now you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that they're coming from a super PAC. So Republicans are sending this out, accusing you of being a liberal. Americans for Prosperity? Is that who it's kind of connected to, or do you know? Or
well, it's definitely connected to some of the same groups and some of the same usual suspects. If you look up who is one of the organizers in Colorado Springs and
Katie Kennedy, right?
And Katie Kennedy as well. But if you look
up, who's the one in Colorado Springs?
I believe it's Cold Communications. That might ring a bell.
Oh, for you. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
But yeah, so I mean, we've got a couple of the regulars who are on the establishment mailers and do the usual dirty work when they want to attack conservatives. So it's the same people who have been attacking me for the last 10 years, every primary.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is why I'm going to say one of the reasons that closed primary is important, because this is clearly aimed at unaffiliated voters. Because if you're an average Republican voter, you've been long active in Republican.
No, no, it's not. It's not aimed at independent voters. It's aimed at Republican voters to con them into voting for Barbara Kirchmeier, thinking she is a strong conservative. Yes.
Oh, I think it's aimed at
it is intended for Republicans to convince Republicans or Republican leaning unaffiliated
that they don't want
because
Lori.
Let's face it, this is a new district. A lot of people do not know Lori and her great conservative record. They do not know that Barbara Kirchmeier is an utter scuzzball or anything else. And so it's a brilliant one. In fact, in Adams County, we caught our new vice chair, who is Austin Rollinson, who is a foot soldier for
Jan Fulman.
He's a foot soldier for KBB. Oh. And he was putting on our Adams County Republican one that Democrats are trying to help Lori Sane because she's too conservative and won't win CD8. So you've got all of them coming at you,
yeah.
from KBB's minions to Americans for Prosperity, the lone Coke representative. They won't let you on the debates. Barbara Kirchmeier has disgraced herself, as far as I'm concerned, in running a dirty campaign. And she's sort of known for that. You probably have one of the Montforts after you also. That's who did a Weld Strong and all of their ones. So you got some great enemies out there that that'll hate it if you win.
Well, unfortunately, some of the donors don't know what they're being talked into sometimes. So that's not necessarily true. And I did hear from some independents that they received that communication as well as about who's a liberal. And, you know, so it's obviously designed to prop up one candidate who has an abysmal voting record across the board with Colorado Union of Taxpayers, with Colorado Liberty Caucus. And, you know, this is back to the same Machiavellian, the ends justify the means. So if you want more of the same of what we've got in Congress already, you've got a swamp critter who is tailor-made to fit right into Washington, D.C., and that's Barbara Kirchmeier.
Now, how do you, we had Dave Williams on the show Friday, and he's actually filed a criminal complaint against some of the Doug Lamborn ads, right? Saying they're just saying stuff. How are you as a candidate? I mean, you seem very calm. I would just be like every day I'd be going home and say, did you see this? I mean, it's just not true. I mean, to me, we need to get Matt Arnold back in the show. You have these super PACs and you can't tell who's donating to this. You don't know.
No, leave the name.
Well, it seems very nice. It's Colorado Conservatives for Retaking Congress,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
And you have to do a lot of research to figure out. Let me just finish. How do you how do you respond to this? Do you just keep stay in your lane and getting your message out? And
well, you know, and that's one tactic, obviously, is you know, getting out the message that I am actually the conservative in the race. And honestly, this is probably the biggest I don't know what to call it show that I've ever seen in politics. You know, yeah. As far as looking at some of the players, there's heroes and anti-heroes. There should be a play made about this at some point. And the mean girls over here at Weld right. County. And, you know, so, I mean, this is, you know, the Democrats in particular have got to be popping popcorn and eating it, because I think part of their strategy is exactly what you were just eliminating, which is these open primaries give them a huge playing field. And, they know that Republicans are running, or at least I should say, the establishment Republicans are running on this concept of electability, and they're almost always wrong, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they haven't won anything lately, so yeah.
But they know that's one of the corner points of getting their candidates in. So the Democrats, you can tell that they're spending a lot of money to make the Republican establishment spend a lot of money, right? Because yeah. All these races, as you notice, that they don't have primaries on the Democratic side.
Right.
It's easy for them to play into this concept and just make sure that, you know, they just have this little bug on the mailers or whatever it is they're sending out. So people jump to those conclusions and there's this big hullabaloo. And, you know, so they've just got to be laughing right now, because they're creating all this chaos in the Republican primaries and making the establishment spend more. So
well, the establishment is, you know,
I'm the best fit for winning the district, given the mood of not only the entire electorate, and that's Democrats, that's Republicans, angry Democrats and Republicans angry at their own party. It is visceral when you go to the door right now. It is absolutely visceral. And they Republicans, for example, are very angry about sending these go along to get along candidates to Congress who do absolutely nothing and help Democrats.
Right.
Their socialist agenda. So they don't want a choice between going off the cliff faster or more slowly. They want to send somebody to Congress that's going to stop Biden, who's going to use the power of the purse to stop these disastrous economic policies and hold other Republicans accountable and make sure that we don't give him another dime to destroy this country. And that is me. They know it. And that's why they're
going. Well, so the part I like is the flooding of television saying that Greg Lopez and Ron Hanks are too conservative for Colorado, which is intended to help Ron Hanks and Greg Lopez beat the establishment ones. And all my
establishment messaging is all over.
And my establishment friends, who I have very few these days, but my establishment friends are just going crazy. They can't do that. That makes it more like, wait a minute, they don't have any money to advertise it. Wait a minute.
Well,
you should have begged them to include you into that.
You should have listened to you guys last summer, right?
They have their own
Republican establishment.
Republican establishment in Colorado is dirty. They're underhanded. They cheat. They lie. They steal. They rig elections. They are disgusting. They are Democrats, and they view themselves as Democrats, and they everything. And this flyer is typical for. We had a big fight with the Americans for Prosperity, and
we had to kiss and make up at the radio station. But you're absolutely. I mean, yeah, maybe you know a little bit. The Americans for Prosperity. They're pro-immigration. It's the Koch brothers, right? It's a business organization.
It's a Koch brother.
Brother, right now. But I mean, they're not a conservative group. You've got other conservatives who talked about the fentanyl bill in Colorado, and that got totally watered down. I mean, and it's just these are issues that I mean, immigration, drugs, crime, things like that. Are key issues to
trade
people.
The Kochs love the China trade,
and so you've got these conservative groups pretending so-called conservative groups, and they're not, and then that's why they attack people like you, because you would actually get in there and do something about it, and that would be that's the last thing they really want.
Yeah, they don't want illumination and sunlight, some of the best disinfectant you have, right? So they don't want anybody shining that torch in these dark corners in Congress. And people are, I think they're getting exposed for the very first time, at least this is the sense I'm getting at the door, that there's starting to be a light bulb going off, that the establishment in both parties, the establishment in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, are really controlled by some of the same people.
Yeah.
Yes.
At the donors, They donate to both sides. So this is a real convergence of people who want our country to keep sliding into socialism and more control for, you know, the oligarchy, rather than returning that power back to the people. So they absolutely don't want to see somebody like me who has an A plus on principles of liberty. And you know what those principles are. Those principles are things that we supposedly believe in across the board as Americans. Who has in their party platform that they don't like unequal, they want unequal treatment under the law, that they want to completely destroy private property rights and individual rights, that they want more government. I mean, none of those things, it's the absolute opposite. So I have an A plus in all of those points, like equal treatment under law, limited government to the role of Constitution, encouraging free markets, personal responsibility, protecting private property rights and protecting individual rights. And my opponent, again, Barbara Kirtmeier, has an F.
I wish you had $100,000 to send out a mailer from the Principle of Liberty scorecard, and that would
it is shocking. I mean, we love Sue Moore and those guys, and we have them on all the time to talk about that. And it's kind of depressing. I mean, these are the principles of liberty, like you said, they're what we believe in. And then there's really, so people understand how significant it is that you got an A. There's really like a handful of Colorado
in the Republican Senate. In the Senate, the Republicans got an A this year.
It's only a handful of people who do. So that really says something. And that's looking at your entire voting record, right? That's not just taking the bills that make it on TV. And to me, it's astonishing that any Republican could actually get an F. I mean, I could maybe
she is a Republican.
Well, not really. I mean,
well, she is a Republican. She's just the worst kind of Republican who constantly tells you how big a Trump fan support she is, although she came and was on our program and she, I'm not sure if it was on air or not, and said she couldn't stand Trump. And it's just, she's just lying. She's not a conservative, but she sells herself a one. It wouldn't be bad if she was more like Joe O'Day, who kind of, I don't know what I am. But Kirkmeyer just lies about it. And if she wins this election, it'll be a really sad day.
Well, it's not even close to being over. Most voters have not yet decided in this race. So if you'd like to help me win this primary, I'm looking for people to knock doors, make phone calls. Obviously, donations are huge right now, because if you think about it, what you just said on a mailer, it does take a lot of money, especially to reach the entire district. We are hitting multiple mediums, including TV, radio, and some other things, just to get our message out. I think we are doing a great coverage. I'm hearing from people every day that have heard my ads. So I think we are still in the poll position. I was, as you know, 173% at the Republican nominating caucus by the grassroots for a reason. I'm at the top of the ballot for a reason. So I'm getting great feedback from folks in the district, and, you know, just, if we can just keep that message out there and keep it steady and increase it, people will pick the right candidate, I think. But you have to get that message out.
Right. And I think the fact that they're spending this kind of money, and I don't know, my guess would be they have some reason to suspect that they're behind, and significantly behind. And so that's good news. Right. And hopefully this.
I've been amazed by how many polling outfits, and I'm just a number, a Republican registered number. I've got three or four. I can't remember.
Somebody's paying for them.
Somebody's paying for a lot of polls. It's kind of amazing.
Well, and it all goes back to, and Lori, thank you for your time. And I think it goes back to, I just like to make this pitch. This is why we need to have a closed primary, because it helps eliminate some of this kind of shenanigans. The open primary doesn't do anybody but the Democrats any good.
And establishment.
Yeah, and the consultants. So,
all right, Lori, well, where can people call to volunteer and contribute and all those kind of things?
On my website, it's Lori, L-O-R-I, F-O-R, freedom.com. So Lori for freedom.com.
All right, ma'am. Thank you. I can't believe you're so calm. You're like,
just fighting a good fight. And I've been through about, what is it, four of these, six of these now? And I know the pattern.
All right. Thank you very much. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you there, Lori Sane. Lori for Freedom. Yeah, and if you get one of these mailers, just throw them away. And it doesn't even look like her anymore. And that's good. They show Jan with a mask over her face, so you can't even tell what she looks like. You know, and again, we'll have to just do more of this. It's, you know, we were talking to somebody the other day, and I like Lauren Boebert, but it was kind of interesting when they were saying because of the closed primary, right, where Lauren Boebert did not help in that at all. And now you're seeing hundreds and hundreds, thousands of Democrats becoming unaffiliated voters to vote her out. And this person said, and I had to agree to them. It's like, you know what? If Lauren Boebert loses, she's got only herself to blame. She had a chance to step up and help you guys. And she would have been significant in the fight to close the primaries. And she said, too busy. And while generally I like Lauren Boebert, this is what happens, right? KKB, this is what happens. The Democrats want the open primaries for a reason. And it's not to help the people of this country. So anyway.
Stephen has asked, when are we going to have Dick Wadhams on again to talk about the primaries and the midterms? And that's a great idea. I'll call him this weekend. Sometimes it ends up being the shouting match, but it's fun anyway.
Yeah, he's always good. Dick is always willing to come on. So, All right. Hey, well, that was it for us. Everybody, want to thank Lori. Thank Colonel Smith. Thanks everybody on Zoom. Remember, you can catch all our shows too at chuckandjulie.com. And as always, thank you to the great guys at BBS. It's now time for party pedicure Friday for me. So
Father's weekend.
No, that's next weekend. Next weekend. We'll see you all. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.